We're getting close to the end of the first letter to the Thessalonians, and Paul is instructing them now. Part of the apostolic preaching, of course, was to say this world as we know it is passing away. This isn't it. And so some people took that to mean, well, the Lord Jesus is coming back like really quick. And see, that's, he's telling them, don't wake up every morning and say, is the Lord coming? You can say it regarding your conscience, but not regarding the, because we don't know. And so, times and seasons, you have no need for anyone to be anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. When people are saying peace and security, they're not saying that right now. I mean, that's for sure. But whether that's a sign that the Lord's not coming right now or not, I wouldn't want to guess. Disaster comes upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So you can forget about that. That's not your concern, whether the world's going to end or not. Concern is, do you please the Lord? Are you striving to be all he wants you to be? Do you obey his blessed Holy Spirit who lives and moves and teaches in you? That's what you see. That's why he says, now you're not in darkness for that day to overtake you like a thief. You're children of the light and children of the day by the mercy of God. You know, you walk down a street in a big city and you're saying to yourself, gosh, you know, all these people look so worried and so nervous and so harassed, you know. And I don't. That's because I'm so smart and figured this out. No. Pure mercy of God. And so then he goes on. Stay alert. Now that sounds, maybe I should collect them on the Gregorite ke prosefkeste. Be on the watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you got to use your brains. How do you help your poor, weak flesh get into reality and live aware of God and what God wants? Prayer and practicing the presence of God, aware of the presence of God. So you have to get little tricks to help yourself, right? Because by our fallen nature, we're not looking around for God. You know, we should be, but we're not. So what do you do to keep yourself alert? Everybody has their own little whatever. Say a prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The old monks used to say that 3,000-5,000 times a day, just part of their breathing. So when there's nothing else to do, your spirit just relaxes back into that prayer. In the monastery, we had a brother, Patrick. He was an Irishman. And he said all day, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord, but under his breath, kind of, you see. But he didn't say it that way. He said, Hail Mary, 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 full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, women, women. He's going on like that. Well, one night in the dorm, we slept in big dorms. Each fellow had a, oh, they looked like Johns in the railroad station, you know. But they weren't. They were, you know. So one night, and then we were just like three planks and then a straw mattress. It was, you know, I slept every night. I had a problem with it. Anyhow, we're all in this big dorm. And you can hear, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord. And then crash. His whole bed must have fallen off the thing, you know. So there's silence. And then, blessed are you among women. Well, he's a very holy man. I'll tell you another story about him. I shouldn't be telling these funny stories at Mass. But anyway, he was very sick. So he was in the dispensary. And the infirmarian, Father Mark, was a medical doctor. And he said, Brother Patrick should walk at least from his room to the dining room for lunch, a little bit of exercise for his buddy. So the fellow helping him out was a young, not very young, but kind of simple brother. So he went down there. Brother, come on, we have to walk to the, no, no, brother, not today. Get the wheel. The wheel was the wheelchair. You know, get the wheel. No, brother, we have to, get the wheel, brother. You know, this go on about 5 minutes. Finally, the brother said, Brother, if I do that, I'll be disobedient. And he says, no, I'll be disobedient. Get the wheel. You have to see how creative these really holy people are. You know, they're not, you know, bland. Anyway, so be alert. Not only because you might walk out the door and boom, it's the end of the world, which could happen, but because the Lord is always present. And he wants us. So you cultivate what's a good habit for you. You could try Brother Patrick's. You could try anything you want, you know, to stay alert so that your heart and mind are in reality and not swept up with all the, you know, one of the great disastrous effects of the television is people are out at their fingertips all day. They're never recollected. And that can make us very superficial. Okay, now we have here in Luke this is the first miracle in Mark. Now Luke, his first speech is in Nazareth, remember? He's reading that text from Isaiah. Then he says, this is fulfilled in your ear. And they get so mad, they want to throw him over a cliff. Now he's in Capernaum. This is chapter 4 now. And he spoke, when the word of God is spoken like that, people start to scream out if there's demons in them. Sometimes it has to be the right environment. I mean, like a lot of people with faith and the word is being preached and somebody starts to scream. It just happens. I remember my buddy Mike Scanlon was preaching at a great big Pentecostal meeting down south someplace in a big tent. And so Mike said to the fellow running it, what do you do if they start screaming and coming at you? He said, don't worry about that. I got football players right down the bottom of the stage, and if they come and they just tackle them. That's not exactly the average Roman Catholic liturgy, but a little bit of that would help. It means something's going on. Anyway, that's enough of that. So, now you see the demons trying to get control. I know who you are, you see? And Jesus says, be quiet, come out of it. That's it. The demon threw the man down, came out without doing any harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, what is there about his word? With authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Not only is he the Son of God, not only he's the absolute infinite Lord and Master of that poor stupid demon, but he's Jesus among us, one of us. And he has mercy on us. And so he frees these people from their demons. How did this poor guy get this demon? Maybe he was cursed. Maybe his life was so out of order the demons could just get into him. Whatever it was, when the demon couldn't stand the presence of Jesus, which is the same story in Mark, slightly different. And so Jesus just gets rid of him. We should pray that once in a while, that the Lord just rid this poor city, for instance, you know, Washington, of the demons. Because you can always tell the demons, huh? There's greed, there's enmity, there's hatred, there's dishonesty, and no morality. And people are driven. And they think they're free because they have a lot of money. But they're so afraid to lose that money. It's a bondage. So we should pray for them. They're under terrible bondage.